All right, if you'll turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I would love to tell you that this is the last one for when God is silent, but I think we have one more week. So we'll deal with that next Sunday. But this is when God is silent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I'm bringing this in because I want us to see that we're three-part beings. We're spirit and soul and body. Okay? And it's important that in the Bible, you do this in the order. In the order is spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Meaning that the spirit is the most important aspect here. With that being said, because we have a body and because we have a soul, we get to live in two worlds, two realms, two kingdoms, and they each have rules or regulations or principles that govern those worlds. And so we live in the natural, but we're also spiritual beings. God's original intention was that through our spirit man, when it's alive unto God, then it dictates to our soul and then to our body how things are going to go. After the fall, then the spirit man is cut off from God, and so the natural realm came into being, and it began to speak to the body, to speak to the soul, and that's how it would go. And then you can get those so entwined that you can't separate the difference between them. When we look at this and when we think about God is silent, one of the things that we have to learn to do is figure out how to maintain a balance in both of those worlds. How to be spiritually minded but earthly good versus being so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. And we have to find that balance. We are the only creatures who touch earth. We touch the natural realm, but we also touch heaven. We touch the spiritual realm. And we do that through our spirit and through our body. Our soul is really neutral. Okay? But we train our soul to figure out how things are going to go. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about our soul. And our soul consists of three parts, which is our will, our emotions, and our thoughts. And those can become very, very strong in our lives. And it's intended to be strong in our lives. But God intends for it to be in a godly way, not in a just natural way. And so we have to be careful how to find that balance. Now, heaven, the spiritual realm of us, our bodies, the natural realm of us, the enemy, both try to influence us. And it's all through our minds, all through our soul, all through our will and our thoughts and our emotions. But because God has given us the freedom to choose, we're the ones who choose the direction that our soul goes in. Either we're going to listen to God or we're not going to listen to God. And if we choose not to listen to God, then our options are to listen to the ways of the world. Okay? And so here's the struggle that a lot of Christians have, is that if the enemy can't keep us from becoming a believer, then he tries to stifle our maturity in the Lord, therefore stifling our productivity by directing our soul into a negative realm. And this is where the Bible talks about strongholds, which are soulish, and one of the greatest strongholds that the enemy has inflicted upon humanity is the stronghold of fear. I'm sorry I said that, because now y'all are fearful. Be at peace. I'm not going to talk that much about fear, but I want you to keep this in the back of your mind. Why are you so fearful? Why are you willing to be controlled by fear. Because when you're fearful, that's what you are. You're being controlled by fear. And when God is silent, it's easy for us to move into a realm of fear. But I want us to understand, and I've been sharing this, that when God is silent, that doesn't mean that he's not working. He's working, because he's working all the time. And he's working so much that even the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that for those who love God. So if you love God, if you're born again, if you're walking with God, if you love him, then he promises this: all things work together for good. Isn't that awesome? Now, that alone ought to help us with our fear realm. We ought to be able to say, well, look, fear might be coming up, but I don't have to give in to it, because I know that God is working all things for our good if we love him. Now, if you don't love him, then this promise isn't for you. And then he adds this: for those who are called according to his purpose. And so God knows the purpose that he has in mind for our lives, and he plans to move everything in that direction for us if we love him. How awesome is that? That means that we do not have to walk in fear. And during this series, we've learned that when God is silent, we need to remain faithful. We need to remain obedient to the last things that he's told us. We need to do what is right according to God, because it's right. And that's what he's asking of us. We need to fight the good fight of faith and keep pressing on. And we learn this through Malachi. God stopped speaking after the prophet of Malachi 430 years until the announcement of the birth of Jesus. And so there's, you know, those many years where God seemed to be silent. But you know what? The people remained faithful. They kept doing what God had asked them to do. They kept doing the right thing. And because of that, we have Zechariah and Elizabeth. We have Mary and Joseph, Simeon, and the prophetess Anna. And they were all being faithful. They were all doing what God had asked them to do. They were being passed down from generation to generation. And they were maintaining that. But the awesome thing is that those who were before them were being faithful for those who were coming behind them. And now Mary and Joseph and all of them that I just mentioned and we've looked at in the past, because of their faithfulness, because they did what was right, then we're here today able to worship God and able to serve him and love him and honor him through the birth of Jesus Christ. They thought it was just about them, but it wasn't just about them. It was about us as well. It was about all those who were going to follow after. Hallelujah. And what I want us to see today is the same is true about us. You are paving the way for somebody, and I pray that you're paving the way for them to be able to walk in all that God has for them. That you're doing what is right. You're remaining faithful. You're remaining true, so that not just for yourself, but for those who are coming after you, whether it be your kids, whether it be this church, whether it be your place of business, or this community, or this state, or this country, or this world. We're paving the way for a greater cause for all those who will follow after us. I hope that's our heart's prayer. We looked last week at the great cloud of witnesses and what they endured, and the struggles and the difficulties that they went through so that Christ could come, so that we could celebrate his birth today, not just back then, but also now. They paved the way for a greater cause, even when God was silent. And then we have God speaking through Jesus, but it's for us as well. It wasn't just for them, but it was for us. They were doing it for themselves, but they were doing it for us. You're doing it for yourself, but you know what? We're also doing it for those who are going to follow after us. We looked at Hebrews 11:13. It said, these all died in faith. And remember, if you're going to die in faith, that means the only way you can do that, you have to live in faith.
While you're alive, you have to walk by faith if you're going to die in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. They didn't get it all. You're not going to get it all. You're going to get a lot of it, but you're not going to get it all. But don't worry about it, because you're paving the way for somebody else to have a greater measure. You know, we have a greater measure than what they did, because Christ is already revealed. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Do we think like that? Verse 32, Hebrews 11, 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, of the prophet and the prophets, who through faith, listen, this is amazing. Listen to what they did. But they didn't do it just for themselves. They did it for us as well. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness. Ooh. All right, if you have a weakness, raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you are the weakness. You're lying to yourself. They were made strong in weakness. Isn't that what the Bible says? That in our weakness, he becomes our strength? Whoo! Hallelujah. Where am I at? I'm already excited. You know that? Became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Verse 35, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Woo, hallelujah. What a mindset. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Any of these words apply to you? Verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They didn't get it all. Whew. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And so they did it for themselves, but they were also doing it for us. And God wants to work in our lives, but it's not just about us. It's not just for our lives. It's for those who are going to come behind us. Those who are going to follow in the faith after us. So what can we learn from these truths and the way they lived? Now, I don't want to be unsympathetic to you. I'm not trying to be insensitive to you this morning from here on out. I don't mean to do that. I don't mean to offend you this morning. But if you feel any of that, then you have a problem and it's not me. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings this morning, but if they get hurt, you'll make it. Here's what we need to do. You ready? We need to quit making life about us. We need to quit making life about our feelings, about all our troubles, about our difficulties. Do you know that most of us do not do what God has called us to do for one reason? Our feelings. Now, I can't imagine, and this is just how I think, so I'm sorry, you get an inside peek. It might not be good, but it's what we got. I can't imagine standing before the Lord and Him asking me, why didn't you do that? And I say to him, I didn't feel like it. Can you imagine what you would feel like? I don't want to take that chance. Now, I'm not saying that I'm always jumping and eager to do what he's called me to do, but I don't want it to be because of my feelings that I don't do what he's asked me to do. And I've been in the ministry for 29 years, and I can tell you that's a major problem. We are so apt to live according to our feelings that we don't even step out in faith. And so we need to quit making life all about us, about our feelings, about our troubles. You know, some of you are more talkative about your troubles than you are about your faith. We need to change that. And so we need to quit doing that, but we also need to grow up, and we need to become all that God has planned for us. He does have a plan. He does have a purpose for us. We need to step out of ourselves. I didn't know how else to say it, but we need to step out of ourselves and grow up and quit taking things so personally. You know, they're long gone, so I can share this story. When we first came here, Alicia was still an infant. She was a baby. And Diana was holding her one day in this building, in this church, and an elderly person said to her, "I don't think your daughter likes me. She never smiles at me." Come on. She was maybe 10 months old. She doesn't even know you. This person took it personal. Come on. That's what we can't do. Can I tell them about your brother? Her brother's a giant. I won't mention which one, but he was a giant. And he said, huh? Yeah, he's still a giant. And he said something about Alicia not being cozy to him, you know. And Diana was quick on the draw, and she said that's because she has discerning of spirits. But he didn't take it personal, so. You see, we have a tendency to get caught up in the little things, the things that really don't matter. And we hold on to our opinion so strongly that we miss what God may want to do because it's different than our opinions. It's different than what we've always thought before. And because we're holding on to those so strongly, we can miss God. You know, things like when we come here and somebody's sitting in our chair. I mean, we're creatures of habit, so we sit in the same place all the time. And you know, I'm going to say that, and then Shirley and all them move to a different spot today, messing me up because I know where you sit. I could tell who's here and who's not here. I don't even have to take attendance. Or somebody doesn't look at us right, or somebody doesn't speak to us right, or whatever it is. They didn't sing the right songs. They sang too long. It's too hot. It's too cold. I mean, come on, get a life. Can you imagine you going, standing before God, and how come you didn't go to church? Well, you know, it was always cold there. Well, yeah, there's women in there. It's got to be cold. And it's hot in here today, man. I can tell you that. Yes, it is. You know, we can have strong personal preferences and opinions and desires, but we can't hold on to them so tight that we miss God. We miss what he might want to do. And I'm probably the guiltiest of this. We can have our opinions and we can hold on to them so strong that we miss something else. Because we make life all about us and about our feelings and our likes and our desires and everything else. And when God does something differently, then we miss him. And so we have to learn that life is not about you and me. It is to a certain point, but then we have to put us aside. We have all missed the greater things that God wants to do in us and then through us to this world who is in need of Jesus. We, by thinking of ourselves, have hindered God from doing wonderful acts of love, not only for us, not only towards us, but also those wonderful acts of love that we can do towards others, because we think in such a way that we miss God. We have made our Christianity so self-focused that we miss the greater cause of what God desires to do in us and through us for this world. We have made mountains out of molehills over little things, and they've kept us in fear and in bondage to where we fail to step out into the greatness of God for our lives and for the world around us. Because we've made these little molehills into mountains, we shut down and we become stubborn. We become willing to walk in fear to the point that we become paralyzed towards God. We just can't do anything. We're so caught up in ourselves that we can't help God. We all have fears. I have never met anybody who doesn't have a fear. We all have them, but we have to get over them, and we get over them by getting over ourselves and by growing up and trusting God and moving out. You know, in the, last quite few months, God has really been dealing with Diana and speaking to her. I mean, if she tells you something, just go ahead and believe it, because she's hearing from God. I mean, I've never seen her like this before in hearing from God. And then she'll tell me, she said, I just don't know how to articulate it, though. I don't know how to say it. I said, well, this is what you do. Just say it. Just say it. You know, what a great problem to have. You have all this, but you don't know how to say it. But the answer is, just say it. Do it. What she's really telling me is I don't know how to step out of my comfort zone. And we all have those comfort zones, don't we? And we don't like to get out of them, do we? No. We all have them. We don't like them, but we're not going to leave them. But we have to come to the place where we have to be free of them. And we become free of them by saying, just do it. Do something, even if it's wrong. You know, I've shared this in the past. Even if it's wrong, at least you can correct somebody that's moving, but you can't correct them if they're standing still. We can always make the adjustments later. We have stayed bound to the strongholds that are not very big in our lives, but they're big in our minds. They're mountains in our minds, but they're really molehills. And I don't think anyone in here has experienced the difficulties, the trials that the great cloud of witnesses have faced. And so, again, I'm not trying to minimize your hurts and your sufferings. I'm not trying to minimize any of that. But they're really not much. What you and I have experienced so far really doesn't compare to what they went through. And what they went through did not keep them from pressing into all that God had for them, but also all God had for us and for all those who would follow after them. Our comparison of suffering is not even in the same ballpark. And so I'm not trying to minimize your sufferings at all. And, you know, some of them are legit, you know. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. Get over it. Grow up. Quit taking things so personal. I mean, it's amazing to me that as soon as we encounter a difficulty, most Christians nowadays start getting mad at God, wanting to know, why is God allowing this to happen in my life? Well, you want to know the truth? It's because he loves you. And he's trying to work something in you that if you'll agree with him, he'll help you through it. It is a process. I understand that. I don't expect you to get up tomorrow and have it all done. You're not. It's impossible. But I do expect you to be on the process, allowing God to help you, allowing God to work with you so you can get over it and grow up and become all that he wants you to be instead of being stuck in a little box as big as your body and you won't move because your feelings, your comfort zone. Our little sufferings have caused mountains of fear in us. And I just want to ask us today, we don't step out because we're afraid. Afraid of what? What are you afraid of? Is somebody going to kill you? Somebody going to hurt you? Somebody going to take you wrong if you say something? Why are we afraid of stepping out? Are we afraid of what others might think about us? Are we afraid of making a mistake and then we're wondering what others are going to think of us? Are we afraid because we don't know how to do it because we've never done it before? Well, guess what? When you've never done it before, you've never done it before. It's all right. And if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. Tomorrow's coming. There's a new day coming. And if somebody doesn't like what you did and the mistake that you made, they have the opportunity to practice forgiveness. Woo! So it's not just about you. It's about them as well. Hallelujah. God is good. I have never met anybody who has not made mistakes. So what? You make a mistake. Admit it. Get over it. Go on. It's not the end of the world. How silly is it that we are in so much bondage over such a little thing? Ourselves. And some of you may be listening and saying to yourself, well, Pastor, you just don't know what I've been through. Hooray. Let me put the mic down and applaud you. Oh, you're so special. You've been through so much. Do you want a pin? I'll make you a pin. I've been through so much. You don't understand. Would that make you feel better? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Don't forget, we're going to wrap this up with communion. Hebrews chapter 12. We read verses 1 and 2 last week. I'm going to read them again. Remember the promise of Romans chapter 12 that because we love him, he's going to work all things out for our good according to the plans and the purposes that he has for our lives. Woo! So whatever comes our way, guess what? He can handle it. We can trust him. Hebrews 12:1. I'm going to read these fast because I want to get on to the rest of the chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you know, one day I want to be a part of that. I mean, I know it's already written, but I can be a cloud of witness for somebody today. There's a lot of little kids around here that I'd like to influence, and I hope that they're being influenced in a godly manner because of my life. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. Everybody say endurance. Isn't that a wonderful word that we hate? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. You see, that's our key. We've got to be looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Consider him. Who are we considering? Jesus. Considered him who endured. Remember, we're talking about endurance in verse 1 and 2, and now it says that he endured. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. What's our responsibility when trials come, when difficulties come? Consider him, and don't lose heart. Don't become faint-hearted. Don't become weary. Verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, everybody say, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. Why? Verse 6, for the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. He disciplines the ones he loves. Why are you going through it? Because God loves you. Yes, we have an enemy, but God will take that and he will use it for your glory and for his glory in you, because he loves us. And chastises every son whom he receives. Hebrews 12:7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. Third time that he's talking about enduring. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as they seemed best for us, as it seemed best for them or to them. But he, talking about God, but he disciplines us for our good. Everybody say our good. Isn't that awesome? And what does that good look like? Ooh, you ready for this? You can see it. That we may what? Share his holiness. In other words, he's saying, you know what? If you'll let me work in you, then I'm going to work it out for good. That's his promise in Romans 8:28. What's that good? His holiness in our lives. Wow, what an awesome God. Verse 11, and this is true if you've ever been disciplined. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Verse 12, therefore, everybody say therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. In the light of discipline, in the light of the difficulties that we're going through, God is desiring that we lift our drooping hands and we strengthen our weak knees. And it gets better. Verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet. How do you do that? You get into God's word. You trust him. You let the Holy Spirit continue to lead you. And you walk and you do what is right. So that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness. Here it is again. For the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. In other words, he's saying, if you don't allow God to work in you through all of these circumstances, all of these difficulties, all the hurt and pain that you experience in your life, if you don't allow God to work all that in you, then you're going to miss his holiness. And when you miss his holiness, you are not going to see him. And how many Christians do we have complaining about everything that they're going through? You know, the cross that they have to bear when he's trying to work out holiness in us. I'm going to paraphrase chapter 12 for the writer of Hebrews. You ready for it? It's short. Get over it. Get over yourself. Quit living by your feelings. Quit living in your comfort zone. Get over it. Whatever you have suffered, whatever you have experienced that has caused great pain in your life, I want you to know something. God sees it, but it's not just about you. It's about those who are coming after you. And I'll prove it next time. I promise you. I have scripture to prove it. It's not just about us. It's about all those who are coming after us. Just like it was for those that Malachi, after God stopped speaking through Malachi, 430 years of the people of God still doing what the last thing that God had told them to do, still handing down the traditions. God was speaking to them without even speaking to them. Because they were faithful. They were doing what is right. And it wasn't just for them. It was for us as well. And again, I'm not trying to minimize your hurts and your sufferings. They're real. I know they are. That's why it hurts so much. But we have got to see the greater thing that God desires to do in and for us and then through us. If he can't do it in us, he can't do it through us. And again, I want you to know, I know it takes time, but we have to be moving forward. We have to be moving towards all that God has for us. Do you know that when you're going through something, there are eyes that are watching you, and they're watching to see how you're doing it. They're watching to see how you're going to walk in faith, how you're going to take this disaster that has come to your life and you're going to turn towards God and you're going to allow God to be your strength when you are completely weak. And they're going to see it. And then they're going to come to you and they're going to say, how did you do it? How did you make it through that? Or whatever has happened to you, you're going to be able to tell somebody else, this is how I made it. And if I made it, you can make it. Whew. But I promise you something, you're not going to have that experience if you keep hiding in your feelings and feeling sorry for yourself and having pity parties for yourself. It takes us rising up and walking with God to overcome, just like they did, and if they did it, we can do it. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he'll allow suffering to come. Some of it you're going to cause on your own. Some of it's just going to happen because we live in a fallen world. But through it all, he loves us, and he's going to work it all out for our good if we continue to love him, if we continue to walk with him. And he's going to change us from the inside out, and his holiness is going to be revealed in us. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. And when his holiness is revealed in us, he shines bright. We're going to see him like we've never seen him before. Hallelujah. All right, those who are going to help serve communion, if you'll make your way down. It says, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed, everybody say betrayed. feelings. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's how we remember him. That's how the scripture in Hebrews said that we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. We look to him. We do that by taking communion, remembering that his body was broken for us. Now, this is COVID safe, so what we need to do is they're going to pass out this. You've got everything together. Take it and then start trying to get the opening for the wafer first. All right? And then once you get the wafer out, then the next part comes easier. But we'll start that. And just like when they bring it, just take it. Don't try and take the thing from them. They have to hold that. And we have this song, "Hope Has a Name." All right, let's hold this before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this bread, and we thank you for the opportunity to take it in remembrance of you, in remembrance of the suffering that you went through. And that gives us hope, Father, knowing that as you were resurrected, so will we be. And whatever we're going through, we'll get over it when we walk with you, when we turn to you. And Father, we do this. We take this knowing that you're going to strengthen us in Jesus' name. Let's share together. Hold this before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this cup as it reminds us of the shedding of your blood that you did for us, that we would be forgiven. And Father, because we are forgiven, we thank you that we will have the ability through your Spirit to forgive others. And Lord, we choose that today. We choose to continue to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll stand with me. Randy, you want to get a trash can or something and see if you can get two of them for each side? I hope this word was encouraging to you today. I know it was difficult. I didn't want to have to give it, but it's part of walking with Him. And I just want to encourage you that God has a great plan for our life. And when we walk with Him, He'll see us all the way to the end. We'll get there. And we'll get there not just for ourselves, but for everybody that's going to come after us. Amen. Father, we again thank you for this day. Ask that you would be glorified in our lives. We thank you for this Christmas season, that we can rejoice in it, that we can continue to share in it. And Father, I thank you for the many, many, many years and generations to come that are going to be able to participate in this. Father, I pray that you would be with us during this week, that you would give us everything that we have need of to come out of our comfort zones, to let go of our feelings that are holding us back, and to trust you completely. In Jesus' name. For the greater cause that you have for us, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a blessed and Merry Christmas.